I've entitled today's message, Spiritual Growth. You know, growth is important in all sorts of shapes and sizes. If there was no growth, you could plant seeds in the garden and you would have nothing to show for them because nothing would happen if there's no growth. You can have children and they'll remain babies if there's no growth. So they need nurturing, they need feeding, they need disciplining to grow. So we all need growth. So why, when you come to the Lord, should you neglect your spiritual growth? Spiritual growth is important because if you're not moving forward, you're not standing still, you're actually falling behind. You're backsliding. So I've picked just a couple of verses from Romans 5, verses 8 to 10. And that's what led me to this topic, actually. It's from Paul. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Powerful bit of scripture that. Let's just come to the Lord. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is designed to help us to grow in our faith and to grow in you and to become more like your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you'll be with me now and that you'll just inhabit me, Lord. May I just be your mouthpiece and take Jerry Kelly straight out of the message altogether, because we only need to hear from you, Lord. You're the only one that has got anything of any value to say. And Lord, we all need something from you this morning. So Lord, we just pray that you will touch each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I can't speak for you, but I find it very hard to comprehend why God would want a relationship with me. You know, I was nobody special. I was just a lad from Belfast who used to go out and blag and do whatever it needed to get through the day. Used to smoke like a trooper, curse like a trooper, done everything much like a trooper. You know, but the Lord grabbed hold of me at an early age. I was 17, just short of 18. And I can remember it as if it were yesterday. I'd come out of the church. Don't ask me what the preacher was talking about. The church was a blur. I can't remember a thing. I couldn't even tell you who was preaching, whether it was our own pastor or whether it was a visiting preacher. And I went back down to the house and I sat in front of the fireplace. And the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. And I was given all these excuses in my head. This was all going on in my head. There's nothing. Anybody would say you were mad, you know, you're stupid. But all this was going on in my head and I was saying, no, don't be silly, I can't be a Christian. I like a drink. I like a smoke. You know, it would ruin my lifestyle. But you know, pleased to say that the Holy Spirit was gentle, persistent, and I ended up in a flood of tears, sobbing my heart out and giving my soul to the Lord. And there were the happiest tears I've ever cried. You know, and it was just a marvelous change. And it was changing, a life changing. And I've grown a bit since. I was taken slow. I'm a slow learner at times. But I keep on trying. The Christian life, we are told, is born in faith and sustained by faith. And if you remember Abraham in the Old Testament, he was considered faithful, not because of his relationship just with God, because of his faith. He believed God was going to bring a nation from him and Sarah. And yet, he was nearly 100 and she was in her 90s. And everybody else would have given up hope, saying, oh, that wasn't a right promise. But he had faith in God, and he believed God, and he held God to his promise. And look what happened. Israel was born through that man's faith. And that's the importance of growing in faith and keeping your faith strong and alive. You know, I would go as far to say that faith is essential if you're going to grow as a Christian. And spiritual growth is essential to strengthen and bolster your faith. How do we do it? How do we sustain and grow our faith? You know, we're all aware that we require food and sustenance for our bodies to keep us strong, and keep our physical strength up. And those of us that drive cars, we know we need a healthy battery, we need good tyres to keep us safe, petrol to make it go, oil and water to keep the engine running smoothly. You know, regular servicing of all the parts, and so that we can travel about safely in it. In this world, to be safe, we need spiritual growth. We need the faith that comes from the Lord. Now, I believe that there are three ways of sustaining our faith. And one, we always call it fellowship, but fellowship, worship, and prayer all come together. But we tend to, the Lord doesn't make any distinction, but we like to make a distinction. So I've made a distinction here, broke it down into three points. We look at the first point, starting with why fellowship is important. Just as children need the input of other children and adults to help them to grow and to develop as individuals, to learn skills required for life, as Christians we need the input of other Christians. Stands to sense. You know, other Christians can help us to develop our faith and enable us to discover and to grow the gifts which the Lord has already given us through the Holy Spirit. The reason we are giving these gifts from the Holy Spirit is not for our benefit. It's not to make us look good or powerful or wonderful or anything else. It's to glorify the Lord and to grow his kingdom. That's why he gives us spiritual gifts. So if you've got a spiritual gift, you're not using it. You're denying that glory to the Lord. The Bible tells us we were all children of God. But we're all at different stages in our walk and our development in our relationship with him. There are moments when we can really be on fire. Praise the Lord, you know, getting in everybody's way and being called all sorts of names like God's Squad and what have you when I was in the forces. But remember, those of you who can remember the old coal fires, you take a coal out of the fire and set it on the hearth, the coal that you have taken out of the fire will soon lose its heat and get cold. And the only way to get it alight again is to put it back into the heat source. And that's why fellowship is important. In a fellowship, we can take heat from each other, energy from each other, learn from each other, and love each other, love one another. If the coal, as it says, taken out of the fire, it will eventually go cold. And if we are taken out of fellowship, as we had been for a lot of months during the pandemic, we maintained contact through Zoom. And it was good, but it wasn't the same, was it? It's not the same. You know, you can watch as many programs on TV or YouTube or whatever, spiritual or whatever, but it's not the same. It's just like, may as well just watch a film on the TV. The Bible tells us that if we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we can enjoy a personal relationship with him. Only then and only through his righteousness can we approach the Father in prayer. It also tells us that we are part of one body. We are the church. We are the church. We don't do church. We don't go to church. We are the church. It's hard to get your head around that at times. As we are part of the body then, surely that means that we're not designed to operate individually. The body doesn't operate. The hand doesn't operate on its own. It's got to get the message from the brain. It's got to come down the sinews, the muscles and the arms, got to manipulate it. So nothing works on its own. Nothing's designed to work on its own. Some people will tell you, oh, this gadget does everything. It'll do everything. But it won't do anything unless you manipulate it and use it in the right way. I kind of think of one part of the body that can operate in isolation. And I doubt if you can. Now, I don't know about you, but I can only understand why I enjoy fellowship, because I can't stop my own company for very long. I get bored. I end up talking to myself and driving myself crazy. You know? But it's nice to have company. Everybody likes company. It's a natural thing. And as Christians, we should naturally want to enjoy fellowship with one another. If we were not meant to have fellowship, we would operate individually. We would be given very different spiritual gifts. I think we'd be given all of the spiritual gifts, wouldn't we? We would need to have all the spiritual gifts if we were going to operate on our own, if we were going to fulfill all of God's requirements. Spiritual gift, it surely means that if we didn't have them all, then we couldn't consider ourselves to be self-sufficient. But hold on. God's plan was not for us to be self-sufficient. God's plan from the beginning of creation was designed for us to have a relationship with Him. There is space within every one of us, every human being, has a gap, a void that only He can fill. And I believe if His intention was for us to be insular, He would not have provided Eve for Adam. And He would not have given us His promise that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I will be in their midst. I believe that the purpose of fellowship is for us to meet together in the presence of the Holy Spirit, who will enable us to praise God and to minister to each other and to learn from each other and to enable us to grow, reinforcing our faith. The Bible tells us that God loved us while we were still sinners. He sent His Son to die for each one of us. Die for each one of us in order that we might be justified by His blood. But you see, the only way we can be justified by His blood is if we accept His Son as our Lord and Savior. If we accept that gift of God. There's no other way than through the sacrificial death of His Son on the cross that we could be reconciled with God. I often wonder why God the Father was prepared to sacrifice His one and only Son for me. Have you ever thought about that? Well, here's why. He wants to have fellowship with us, with you and with me. Can you think of any circumstance where you're prepared to pay the same price as He paid? Just on the off chance that someone might accept your sacrifice. Someone who may afterwards turn their back on you and walk away. I doubt if I could. That brings us on to the second point. Let's move on. Some people like to call this worship. Unlike fellowship, worship and prayer, which are the other two aspects, can either be individual or corporate activities. We always all know that worship is far more than music. But it's not unusual to hear some churchgoers say, "We have the worship first and then the word." That's a big misconception, as every part of a church service is an act of worship. Praying, scripture reading, singing, silence even, listening to the sermon, taking notes, giving an offering. The list is endless. Worship predates music. The Bible tells us that Adam worshipped in the Garden of Eden before there was any mention of music. It is not until we get to Genesis 4:21 with the birth of Jubal, where we are told he was the father of all who played the harp and the flute. If worship was only about music, then you've had a good demonstration today. Those of us who are not musical would be excluded from the act of worship. No, worship is submission or surrender to the Lord's will. Now today, submission and surrender are very unpopular words in this world. They're disliked by this world, but submission and surrender to God, I believe, is the very heart of worship. It is a natural response to the amazing gift of love, grace, and mercy that we all have received from our Father God. The Apostle Paul urges us to faithfully surrender our lives to God in worship. This act has been called many things, from consecration, making Jesus Lord, taking up the cross, dying to self, yielding to the Spirit, being born again, to mention a few. You know, it doesn't really matter what you want to call it. The important thing is, have you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? Trust is important. In fact, it's essential. When it comes to surrender, I ask, can you trust God? You know, unless you do, you won't surrender to Him. But the more you realize just how much He loves and cares for you, the stronger your faith will grow, and the easier the act of submission will become. Then worship will become the natural and obvious thing to do when we acknowledge what a wonderful, compassionate, and loving Father He is. What else could we do? What do we get out of it? Oh, that may sound an awful selfish thing to say, but isn't that the way we naturally think? Most of us tend to weigh things up in the balance and say, well, what am I going to get out of this? What's the benefit to me? If there's not much benefit, should I really be doing it? I believe that the first and foremost worship is not just for our benefit. It should be offering our praise to our Heavenly Father to glorify His name. Although through it, the Lord will bless us. If you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, you already have an assurance that He will always be with you. And your place in heaven is booked. The ticket's written, it's guaranteed, it's assured. He will always be with you. That is wonderful. The Lord has always been with me over 50 odd years. On a bit. The Lord has been with me. And when I look back, I can see every door that He closed to stop me falling into trouble. Every door He's opened to ease my path. And it's wonderful. Sometimes we don't see it, we don't concentrate it, but we've got to be unlike the lepers who didn't go back and say thank you. When we realize that, and you will realize it from time to time, that's the time to come to the Lord and say thank you for all you've done for me. Praise and worship is always worthy because of what He does for us. We can give Him our worship at any time as well, anywhere. Whatever we're doing, we're doing the housework, we're cutting the grass, drying dishes. Normally I'm drying the dishes, and a little chorus will come into my head, all things bright and beautiful or something like that, or, you know, Jesus loves little children, and I sing. And it just comes out of nowhere, but it gives me a lift. And I'm sure I'm not the only one. I'm sure you all will come across similar things. Occasionally, you know, I just burst into song. It makes me feel alive and close to God. The psalmist put it like this: it restores my soul. And that's what it does. It restores my soul. It just gives me an uplift. In fact, everything we do, if we dedicate it to the Lord, is an act of worship. In fact, I'll go as far to say our whole life should be an act of worship. Can you remember when you first fell in love with someone? Even though it's a long time ago, I can still remember. You know, you were constantly thinking about them when you were driving to work, queuing to get into a shop or whatever, checking out. You could not stop thinking about them. You talked to yourself about them, thought about all the things you loved about them. And this made you feel really close to them, even though they may have been many miles away. You were abiding in their love, so to speak. Well, folks, that's what worship really is all about, abiding in the love of Jesus. When you really love someone, don't you look forward to meeting and talking with them? I know I do. And that leads me on to talking to the Lord. Brings us on to the third point, prayer. Well, prayer is a two-way communication. Sometimes I forget that. Sometimes I do all the talking and don't really think. I'm sure we're all guilty of that. The wife tells me that anyway. I do all the talking and don't listen. Yeah, that's a man thing, I suppose. Women are very good at listening. I've noticed they hear everything. You don't get away with nothing. But joking aside, it's very important that we remember that we need to listen and not just do all the talking. If we don't listen, how then are we going to hear from the Lord? Prayer is especially important to the Christian faith. In fact, I would go as far as to say the most important. Why? Well, it was through prayer that most of us here, me included, asked the Lord Jesus into our heart. Of course, that was after he first spoke to us and invited us, because without the Spirit speaking to us, it's just not possible. It's all on his terms. He gives the invitation, we accept or reject. So you see, prayer is the starting place when it comes to getting closer to God. Prayer is also the power engine of the church. Corporate prayer comprises the three points we are looking at this morning. It is an act of fellowship and worship and praying together, by which we can reinforce each other's faith. There will be times when each of us will give in to temptation and sin. The Bible tells us that we all fall short. And if we're not careful, we can beat ourselves up and even doubt that God could love someone as unworthy as we are. As I stated at the beginning, I find it hard to comprehend why God would want a relationship with me. But I'm glad that he cares not only for me, but he cares for all of us so much that, as his word tells us in our reading from Romans, which we read this morning, Romans chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? You know, he loves us more now as Christians, even when we sin, than he did when we were lost. It's not easy for us to love outsiders, strangers, those we don't know. But you know what? The Lord does. And there's a lovely song that Jim Reeves sings: a stranger is just a friend you do not know. You know, and that's the way the Lord looks at strangers. They're friends who as yet don't know him. But he wants to be friends with all, and he's willing and open to everybody. It's important that we don't ever lose our shortcomings, our sin, and let our sins separate us from God's unfailing love. We've got to remember that even in our sin, God loves us. Remember, all we must do is to get down on our knees and repent of them. And his word tells us that he is ready, willing, and able to forgive us our sins, whatever we may have done, as long as we turn from them and we truly repent. We must remember to stand on his word, as John 10, verse 29 tells us. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Faith is trusting God to provide for our daily needs. I believe that's why when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, the prayer he gave them spelt out the need for daily contact, daily fellowship. Give us this day our daily bread. Notice there's no mention of tomorrow. This day. Only he knows if there will even be a tomorrow. So if you have heard the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning, if you have heard him invite you to accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior, and you have not as yet asked him to come into your heart, then I strongly urge you to do so before the day is out, for we don't know if there will be a tomorrow. I believe he loves everyone in this world, and he would love them all to accept his Son as their Lord and Savior. And, you know, I also believe he is coming back to collect those who belong to him. And I believe that he is coming soon. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we give you thanks for your Son's sacrifice on that cross, and through whose righteousness only can we come into your presence. Lord, we ask that you be merciful to us and grant us your love, your grace, and your peace, the peace that passeth all understanding. Father, we would ask for your protection against the evil one, and that you give us the strength and the will to do your purpose here in this place. Father, increase our faith, we pray. Lord, we thank you for all your blessings and look forward to the return of your Son, in whose name we come before you now. Amen.